Praise the Lord.
Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. This is Apostle Stevenson. Who all do I have on the line with me tonight? Amen. Praise God. I'm not sure if they're still getting in on the line, but I did want to go ahead and start. Okay, so his way of speaking. I just wanted to go over a few things as far as how the Lord speaks. Father, I just bless you, God, and I praise you, God, and I thank you, Father, for another opportunity to come before your people, Father God, with a word, Father God, that will strengthen them, encourage them, teach them, show them, Father God, how to move and how to operate in the prophetic, Father God. I just bless you and I praise you, God, and thank you. Amen. Okay, so there's quite a bit of information tonight, and so I'm just going to go ahead and start, and then we will go from there. First and foremost, we know that his ways of speaking are not our ways of speaking. The way that God speaks to us is totally different than the way that we would speak to one another or the way that we would even expect. And so I just want to go over some definitions, some dictionary-type definitions. The word roe, R-O apostrophe E-H, means literally to be a seer. It occurs 12 times in the Hebrew text of the Old Testament, and essentially the root of roe means to look at or to behold. This word is used of the prophet in his seeing or perceiving of God's message especially, although not exclusively, with reference to the visionary. And it describes distinctively the prophetic revelation of the prophet through visions. And I don't know if you guys got to hear the teaching last week, but we're still speaking about Amos, just for those that didn't know. And we'll go on. I mean, we're not just going to stay on Amos, but he was a seer. Okay. Another word, choze, C-H-O-Z-E-H. It's translated in our English Bibles as prophet. It also carries the base meaning of a seer as well. And it's used 16 times in the Hebrew text. So, roe is 12 times and choze is 16 times in the Hebrew, which is the Old Testament. Okay, and so there's a man by the name of David Blomgren, B-L-O-M-G-R-E-N, and he makes a distinction between these two words, stating that although these two terms, roe and choze, may be used interchangeably, choze seems to be the broader term used to refer to either cognitive or visionary perception. The biblical release of prophecy in your life will often operate in the same manner. God will first show you something, and then he'll give you the task of verbalizing that which he had just impressed upon the tablets of your heart. The next word is massa, M-A-S-S-A. The Hebrew term massa and its root nasa, N-A-S-A-H, are used a total of 70 times in the Old Testament to identify prophecy. Now remember, roe, R-O-E-H, was used 12 times, and choze was used 16 times. And then massa is more a broad term, so it's used 70 times in the Old Testament. And it means a burden. It reveals the response of one receiving God's message. It comes like a weight or a burden upon them, and that's what happened to me this last week. Not just to give a prophetic word, but the burden fell upon me for intercession. And every prophet is first an intercessor before anything else. A literal weight can come upon your body. And if you read Isaiah chapters 13 through 23, that's going to be your homework, 13 through 23, one right after another, the burden of the Lord comes upon Isaiah as he speaks God's word of rebuke and judgment over Babylon. Then he spoke it over Moab, Damascus,
Egypt, Duma, Arabia, and Tyre. Okay, so both Zechariah and Malachi use the phrase, the burden of the Lord, in King James Version. And then the NIV uses the word oracle, and that's to describe the strong prophetic message from God. So it's interesting to note the blending of prophetic terms in the opening of Salvo, Habakkuk's book of prophecy. I almost said Hezekiah. So if you look in the book of prophecy from Habakkuk, let's just go to Habakkuk chapter 1, and we're just going to start there. And bear with me. I still have Amos marked off, but we're going to go on over past Obadiah to Habakkuk and Nahum and Micah. Micah and then Nahum. Okay, so Habakkuk chapter 1. It says, the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. O Lord, how long shall I cry? Thou wilt not hear, even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. But I want to go back to verse 1. Notice how it says, the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. And so there it speaks about the burden. And then he's seeing it. So that's a heavy blending of a strong word from God that came through a vision. Okay, so going back to some of the things that David Blomgren has said, he adds another interesting highlight to the word masa. The same Hebrew word, however, is also descriptive of the lifting up of the soul in prophetic flow of the temple musicians as exemplified in the master musician Shekinah, who was a master of song. So Hebrew, whenever you break it down, masa means here is a joy, or literally a lifting up. Go to Ezra 24 and 25. Let me get past. And these are all the minor prophets. I think that I had told you guys to kind of go look at the major prophets and the minor prophets. And so these are the minor prophets. What did I say? Ezra? Sorry, bear with me. And we're on to Ezra 24 and 25. Or was it 4 and 25? Because there is no 24. Let me see. Let me find it. Or is it Ezekiel? It may be Ezekiel. Yes, okay. I'm sorry. Ezekiel 24 and 25. I'm sorry. I abbreviated that wrong in my notes. Okay, so it says, also thou son of man, shall it not be in the day when I take from them their strength, the joy of their glory, the desire of their eyes, and whereupon they set their minds, their sons and their daughters. So notice he says, thou son of man, shall it not be in the day when I take from them their strength, the joy of their glory, the desire of their eyes. Okay, so the joy of their glory. The joy means the lifting up of their glory. Okay, when you go and break down the word joy, you're going to find masa, M-A-S-S-A. Also, within this word is the concept that the purpose behind the prophetic word, even when judgmental, is restorative. Even when denunciation is in order because of sin, it is a lifting up prophecy intended to bring them higher in God's ways. And indeed, the main concept behind this word masa is that of a lifting up and not a weighing down. Next would be naba, and that is used less than 435 times. And this one is also used in the Old Testament. And you'll hear nabai, naba, and nabai, and then nataf. Okay, so let's go to Amos 3 and 8 for our naba. And it says, the lion has roared, who will not fear? The Lord God hath spoken, but who can but prophesy? And that word is naba. And then it says, Joel 2 and 8, it says, your sons and daughters will naba, which is prophesy. And so, let's see, nataf. Let's go to nataf. So the second Hebrew word for prophecy. And this one is a pretty dynamic word. Okay, so while naba describes the communicating of a prophecy, like words that bubbled up from within, nataf actually pictures a flow of words that actually drop upon the messenger as drops of rain. This is how the Lord really ministers to me. He'll drop dews. As I speak, I'll hear it coming, and I speak what I hear immediately. Or it will boil up from within me, a wellspring of life. But there are some that see pictures and different types of illustrations and, you know, that kind of stuff. But it just depends on reason of use and how God is using you and everything else. But I love the drops of rain. So let's go to Micah 2, 6 through 11. And bear with me while I turn there. All of them are so close, so if you turn your pages too fast, you're going to miss it. Okay, so 2, 6 through 11. Prophesy ye not, say they to them that prophesy. They shall not prophesy to them, that they shall not take shame. O thou art named the house of Jacob. Is the spirit of the Lord straitened? Are these his doings? Do not my words do good to him that walketh uprightly? Even of late my people is risen up as an enemy. Ye pull off the robe with the garment from them that pass by secretly as men averse from war. The women of my people have ye cast out from their pleasant houses. From their children have ye taken away my glory forever. Arise ye and depart, for this is not your rest, because it is polluted. It shall destroy you, even with a sore destruction. If a man walking in the spirit and falsehood do lie, saying, I will prophesy unto thee of wine and of strong drink. He shall even be the prophet of his own people. And so four times the word prophecy is mentioned, but that word in the Hebrew is nataf. And so it's not only a flow as water from the prophet's lips, gushing forth as a fountain, but it's also to be viewed as raindrops falling from heaven. The prophetic word is a word dropped by God from heaven as dewdrops of rain. I love this because even as I pray over people, it'll drop. You know, if I preach, it'll drop, which I'm not a preacher, I'm more of a teacher, but it just drops. And sometimes, you know, if you notice a prophet will speak and then they'll just kind of stand there for a minute they're waiting for it to fall, you know. Same thing with pictures. God may allow you to see a picture, but it may take you a couple of minutes to get the full interpretation of the picture and why he's actually showing you. Remember Amos from last week? He asked Amos, what did he see? And he said he saw a fruit basket. You know, in the natural mind, you would think fruit is something that you can eat, but the prophetic word was totally different. And so it may take you a couple of minutes to figure out exactly what God is trying to say. And so, however tedious the process is, prophecy is an indication of God's approval and blessing on the congregation or the body of Christ or the bride, however you want to put it, because it shows that he's actively present in our churches, in the ecclesia, you know. So we say, more prophecy, Lord. Send your inspiration into your church because it's a sign that you're present in the midst of us. Amen. And so just a recap, RO, R-O, apostrophe E-H, and that means seer, chose, C-H-O-Z-E-H, and that is the word for prophet. And it's also a seer. One of them was 12 times, one was 16 times mentioned. Then Massa, M-A-S-S-A, and the root word to that is Nasah, N-A-S-A-H, and that's used 70 times to identify prophecy, and it means a burden, and sometimes it means a lifting up. Remember, Habakkuk saw, but and it was a burden for him, but then in Ezekiel, it means a lifting up. And then Naba, N-A-B-A, and that is to bubble up, to gush forth. And that's how the Lord ministers to me, to pour forth as a river of life, river of words coming from God. Who can but Naba, who can but prophesy, Joel 2 and 28. Your sons and daughters will Naba, they'll prophesy. And let me just go back to, I don't know, my spirit is not sitting right. I have written on my notes Ezekiel 34. Let me see what 34 says. 34. No. Okay. Just making sure. And then I wrote down on the side of my notes, Kabod, C-H-A-B-O-D, which is the breath of God. And then Ruach is also representative of the breath of God, R-U-A-C-H. Those are just some things that we need to know. There's some of the prophetic terms. And let me go and find Nabai real quick on the internet because I don't have that in my notes. But that is another word for prophet, you know. It's in the Hebrew lexicon, H-5-0-3-0. And then let me just go and see. It means prophet. And trying to find some words. Okay, let's see. Let's go to Judges 6 and 8 real quick. We still have a little bit of time, so we'll go there real quick. Judges 6. Lordy. Okay. And we know that during the time of Judges, they were starting to not have really a word of the Lord, you know. The Lord was beginning to not speak to them any longer. Okay, I don't know why I'm not finding Judges. Okay, here we go. And so he raised up Judges. But let me go back real quick. Was it 6 and 9? Okay, 6 and 8. Okay, let me go to 6 and 8. And it says, the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you forth out of the house of bondage. I delivered you into the hands of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out before you and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But ye have not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which is Ophrah, that pertained to Joash the Abiezrite, and the son Gideon, who threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then has all of this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us, saying, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might. Thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And then we know the story of Gideon. I love Gideon because he didn't come from a certain background. You know, he didn't come from a certain pedigree. He didn't have preachers in his family. He didn't have prophets in his family. But God called him to fight a battle. And he told God, I'm too small, you know. I love Gideon. And then the fact that he is threshing wheat, and that's a woman's job. That was something that men didn't do in his day. But he threshed, you know. And, I mean, it just had to be so humbling. But God used Gideon to do great and mighty things. So, anyways, in here it spoke about Nabai, the word Nabai, which is another word for prophet. And I guess that is it. I mentioned the word oracle. It's not going to be nice to me. Yeah, it's not going to be nice to me and pull it up in the Word. I was going to give you guys an example, but at least you have the example that I did give. Where was it? Let's see. Oracle. It was here. Somewhere. Jose. No. Masa. I can't remember where I wrote that down in my notes, but it was the NIV that, it was Masa. The NIV uses the word oracle in Zechariah and Malachi, and then the King James uses the other word, which is Masa, but pretty much both of them break down a little bit differently. Okay, so anyways, if you guys have any questions, comments, please share the Blog Talk Radio show with your friends, your family, up-and-coming prophets, emerging generation of prophets, prophetic people, prophetic psalmists, prophetic writers, scribes, just different people, prophetic intercessors. But it's just this series, whenever we finish it, it's going to be really good. It's going to very well round you as a prophet. I'm just starting small and working my way up. That way we're able to cover, you know, the character of prophets, everything. The only thing that I cannot teach you to do is prophesy. That is something that the Spirit of the Lord God will teach you that, and it will fall upon you, or it will come up as a wellspring of life, or you will feel the burden, and he will not release you unless you say what thus says the Lord. You know, once you release it, then you'll feel the release, and the only way that you are going to know is by reason of use, and thank God that the Lord gives us. You know, we're not like the Old Testament prophets. You know, we aren't struck down if we miss. God will give you a grace period to make mistakes so that you can learn in it. The number one thing is just stepping out in faith and actually allowing God to speak to you. You may start out exhorting people. You may start out speaking a word of encouragement or whatever. It's going to be different because God uses you prophetically in many different ways. Everybody is not called to the office of a prophet. Some have just the gift of prophecy. Some have the spirit of prophecy. Some have, you know, the mantle, the mandate, some are just prophetic people, you know, and so on and so forth. Or you may have a mixture of graces. You may be a prophetic evangelist, or you may be a prophetic apostle or an apostolic prophet. There's just so many different facets, and so we will get into those later. I just don't want to overload you all with too much stuff too soon. But yes, inbox me if you have any questions and share the broadcast. And I'll see you all next Saturday at either 2 or 4 p.m. I'll let you guys know throughout the week because my schedule is kind of changing interchangeably. But I'm about to be in a stable place to where I can put the broadcast at a certain time every week. All right, God bless you all. God keep you. Father, I just bless you. I thank you, God. Father, I seal up this word on the tablets upon the hearts of your people, Father God. And I bless you, God, and I praise you, God. Holy Spirit, stir, bubble within them, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, drop like rain. Hallelujah. Open up vision, Father God. Open up, Father God, the part of their brain, Father God, that will allow them, Father God, to experience your presence, God. Bring them out of the logical place and take them into intuition, Father God, into their intuitive side of their brain, the creative side of the brain that you have called us to function from, Father God. I bless you, Father. I praise you, God. I thank you, oh God. Hallelujah, God. Open the ears. Pop the ears of those, God, who may have been deaf up until this season, Father God, and cause them to hear your voice like never before, God. Hallelujah. Father, we praise you, God. We give you honor. We give you glory. We give you praise. And it's in Jesus' holy name that we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Good night. God bless.